I'm Nick Lippa here with Melissa Burgess of Victory Press. Melissa, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. There's a new season of Buttes hockey upon us, and they're 1-0. Let's just talk general description. How are the Buttes looking heading into this new year?
Before the first game, I was a little worried. Obviously, it's literally a whole new roster, save for three players, a whole new coaching staff, plus they're going to have a new rink. So, you know, you look at that and you kind of worry, like, who knows what's going to happen? But they clearly have practiced a lot together, and they've already started building that chemistry, and they looked pretty good in the first game of the season there.
And that game was a 3-1 victory. Give us a little bit of insight about what was happening in that first game and what you saw.
So they were playing against Connecticut, who, no offense to Connecticut, hasn't been the most competitive team in the NWHL over the history. They've always kind of finished in the bottom, and the Buttes have almost always finished in the top. But it was a good game. Lenka Chermova scored the first goal of the season, that would be, and also, of course, her first goal. But she also made history as the first Slovakian player to score in the NWHL, which is pretty neat, and she was named Player of the Week as well.
Can you talk a little bit about the international aspect of women's hockey and kind of its role at its current moment with the NWHL?
Yeah, so obviously the NWHL is the only professional women's league in North America now with the folding of the CWHL, but they do have a really nice mix of Americans and Canadians and the European players. Something that I actually wish they would go back to is in the first season, I don't know that they did it after that, they used to have player flags on the jerseys representing their nationality. And that was just such a nice touch because you really saw visually, okay, all these players are coming from all these different countries and it's incredible. But, you know, you've got players from across Canada, across the United States. Obviously, there's a lot from, you know, the typical markets that you would expect, Boston, Minnesota. On the Buttes, there's a lot of local girls, which, of course, is also great to see local girls hockey growing and developing these women into professional hockey players. So it's a nice mix of nations.
Recently, we had one of the best Olympic games in mind between Canada and the U.S., that gold medal game. That blew everybody's top off when that game happened. It's a nice way for people to identify a lot of players and where they go and root for them outside of also just league games too, right, as individuals.
Right, and it is also, it kind of goes the other way as well, where the NWHL is also developing these players, even though it is a professional league, obviously, but it's getting these players out there, getting them noticed. You know, one of the Buttes from last season got noticed by USA Hockey, and she's played for USA Hockey in Worlds and things like that now. So it's, you know, growing these players from before the professional leagues, but also growing them and bringing them to that international stage.
And they played Russia last year too, right? One of the Buttes, they faced the Russian national
team?
Yes,
and they've also faced the China national team in the past as well.
Let's talk about how you can watch NWHL games, because that's been a big thing in the past. That just wasn't access to be able to see it easily, or the quality wasn't very good in the past. What are they doing this year?
Right, so this year, the NWHL has it's a three-year contract with Twitch, which many people may know as a video game streaming service. And so you can watch NWHL games on Twitch now, which also allows for kind of an interactive chat alongside. It allows for co-hosting, like where a Twitch user can broadcast the NWHL broadcast into their own feed, thereby sharing it with, you know, a bigger audience that may not have seen it otherwise. I think it's a great thing, but I'm going to be completely honest. There are definitely some growing pains. Saturday's Buttes game, if anyone watched it, it was a little painful to watch at first. There were just a whole bunch of technical issues, and, you know, that sort of thing happens, obviously, but those are also things that draw people away, where you kind of get discouraged if you're not that dedicated fan, where you're just kind of like, well, I'm not going to watch this if the audio keeps cutting out every time they change the camera angle and the feed doesn't start up until, you know, 13 minutes past when puck drop was supposed to be. But I will say I am intrigued to see how the feed looks for Buttes home games at Northtown Center, because that arena is not very well set up technologically to me. And I don't know how good the quality or the angle of the broadcast is going to be.
And how important, from your perspective, is it to have that kind of presentation, you know, outside of the home ice experience for a league to grow like the NWHL is trying to do.
Oh, you know, it's critical. I mean, you have fans, you know, you have dedicated fans who obviously want to watch, but you also have those casual fans who just may stumble upon it and say, oh, I'll check it out. Or someone who's now, you know, just on Twitch who might see someone co-stream it to their broadcast and might decide to watch. Another thing that they do in Twitch is, so the NWHL has two channels, basically, because if there's two games going at once, they have to broadcast each separately. But they can kind of push one stream over to the other when it finishes. So that's what we saw happen this weekend, this past weekend, with when the Buttes game ended. All those viewers were automatically pushed over to the other game. So they may not have otherwise gone to that game and watched, but it just, you know, kind of smoothly brought them over. So obviously, you know, it's a big thing and you want that quality to be there. Yes, it's a free broadcast, which is fantastic, but at the same time, it is professional hockey, so you need it to be top notch.
Moving forward, we have two games this weekend against Boston. How are we feeling about the Buttes heading into Boston?
Well, we all know about the rivalry between Buffalo and Boston, right? I mean, that's just a hockey given, whether you're talking about women's hockey or men's hockey. But Boston has always been a really good team. And this year, they've retained some of that core, which makes them a really dangerous team and one of the teams to beat, quite frankly. They did win their first game as well, so they are also undefeated heading into this weekend. And their captain, Jillian Dempsey, had two goals and an assist in their win. She had something like five shots on goal. She also became the first player in NWHL history to reach the 30-goal mark in her career. And she's, the leading scorer all time in the league. So she is definitely dangerous. And they've got a lot of dangerous players that the Buttes are going to have to contain. But I also think what will be interesting will be it's a Saturday morning game. At 11:30 in the morning on a Saturday. That is not what you're used to for a hockey game. So, you know, obviously that changes the players' routines because they're, you know, maybe used to having a certain meal before the game, but now it's breakfast instead of the mid-afternoon lunch. And then they play again on Sunday afternoon, so it's a, you know, a quick turnaround. Hopefully they can, you know, maybe build off some of the fan energy and get a couple wins maybe.
What's a Buttes player this weekend to watch upcoming against Boston?
So I don't know exactly how they're going to handle the goaltending situation this weekend, but Mariah Fujimagari was excellent in the season opening game. So I assume that she will play at least one, if not both, of this weekend's games, just depending on how the coaching staff decides to handle it, obviously. But she is the player to watch for me.
We'll be hopefully watching a lot of players upcoming the week after the home opener, October 19th. How are you feeling about the transition to a new arena and having this home opener right now in Northtown?
It's a little heartbreaking just because, you know, I have been around since the beginning and seeing them grow at Harbor Center and eventually get their own locker room and all these great graphics and stuff has been a treat. And I actually, just before I came to talk to you today, Nick, saw a photo of the outside of the Buttes locker room at Harbor Center. And the, you know, wall is being deconstructed. All the Buttes designing stuff is being taken down. So, you know, I no offense to Northtown Center. It's definitely a downgrade from Harbor Center. I don't think anyone can argue that. But it has its perks. Obviously, you know, the free parking and hopefully less traffic than Harbor Center. But I just hope the crowd is as good because, you know, the rink may not be as good. The quality of the broadcast, we'll see. But I hope the crowd, you know, and I think those diehard fans will show up. And hopefully we get a good crowd on Saturday.
And it's all happening during the season where you have over 200 players right now who are on strike. What would you say to fans who look at the product they saw last year? Maybe they got excited and maybe they're kind of deterred by what they've heard from the offseason thus far. What would you tell the fans about, hey, this is going to be here October 19th, Buffalo Buttes?
Well, you know, so this is actually, I kind of wrote out my feelings a couple weeks ago for Victory Press on this. Is like, what does it mean to support women's hockey? Because I want to support those, you know, 200 players who are for the game and who are sitting out. But at the same time, I don't want to turn my back on the NWHL because it does holds a special feeling for me, being around since the beginning and having the team in our hometown. So, you know, I think that you can support both. I think that obviously, you know, you have to kind of get it around your head that what this means, that you're supporting both. And, you know, in terms of the labor issues and things like that, like, I recognize the labor issues that exist in the NWHL. I've written about them for the Victory Press, but I'm still covering the league under that context. And that for me is what's important, is that I, you know what's going on. I know the situation. So for fans, you know, I would just recommend that you familiarize yourself with the For the Game initiative and the PWHPA and what they're really doing and what they're going for, and support them when you can. But also, you know, keep supporting the NWHL if that's what you want to do.
And that's one other thing to mention, is if the league, let's say, does absolutely terrible, like awful this year, that's also not a good scenario for players on strike too, because now you're talking about where do players go play too, right?
Right. So I think the, you know, you call it a strike. It's not officially a strike. It's a boycott. You know, there's all these legal terms. But I think it's more than a one-year thing, to be completely honest. I think it's at least a two-year thing. But they do have these groups that are kind of localized groups. So we've seen some of the Buttes from last year play in New Hampshire last weekend for this Dream Gap Tour. And there were games in Toronto. A Montreal contingent just announced a couple games coming up. So, you know, there's still the hockey out there. It's in different ways. And, you know, it's anyone's guess what things will look like a year from now, let alone 2 years from now.